What a joy it is being one with the Lord, right? Praise God. Good to see you all on this beautiful Monday. Beautiful temperature, beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. No rain, not for a little bit. Yeah. So it's always such a pleasure to be able to just share things and do a little bit of teaching. And the serious ones always show up here. And it's just such an honor to be able to be here and fill in for Pastor Shelley. And again, as Austin said Sunday, we are so blessed to have pastors like Pastor Gary and Shelley. Just super people. They're grounded in the Word. They know what they're doing, and they have pastors' hearts, which we all know. So We'll open with prayer right now. Father God, we just thank you right now for this time to be able to just share your word and your truth and just apply it into our everyday lives to make things more clear, to make things more simple. Father, we want to do it your way rather than our way. We thank you for those that are here this evening and also to lift Pastor Gary and Shelley to be refreshed, to get filled. They need it just as much as we do, and you know that. So, Father, we just thank you right now. And they come back completely renewed and ready to pass on other things to us. We thank you. We pray this in your Son's mighty name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, last time we were here, you know, I could do it without a mic, but we record everything, and you got to put it through a microphone. Otherwise, it won't pick it up at all. So, otherwise, we wouldn't need it. Last time we were here, we talked about a couple different things. We talked about the three types of healing. Dennis knows those. Sure. Good, good. Spiritual, emotional, and physical. And those three things do apply. A lot of times we get them twisted around a little bit. But we do have to remember there truly are different realms. There's a spiritual realm and there's a fleshly realm, a worldly realm that we are all here. And the song that we sung during camp meeting was changing from the earthly to the heavenly. And that's showing that separation again between the earthly realm and the heavenly. We're just human people right now in an earthly body with a spirit inside of us for a short period of time. And Pastor Gary always mentions that timeline, how small it is that we're here in compared to eternity, which we all know. So I'm going to continue on a little bit about healing and jump around with a couple things, some things that are kind of interesting. And the main thing that's really been on my heart, and I did share it the last time I was here, I know I have totally changed my prayer requests and the way I pray. And I've changed it over from asking and sometimes almost into a begging mode to a thanking and an appreciative mode. And he spoke to my heart real, real clear with that when one prayer. He said, I don't understand why you're asking. I've already given you that. And that got me thinking to where there's not one thing that I can think of that's good that he hasn't already provided. Nothing. There is not one thing that's good that he hasn't already provided. So where does that put all of the emphasis on of not receiving? Right on to us. At times, I think the receiver button is a little too small or we can't see it or it's lost. And but he has really supplied everything. The Bible talks, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will open. So I'm not saying, you know, the least that I'm trying to say is that prayer is of no value. There's many, many things to pray about. But to be asking and almost on a knees down begging for him something, and he's up there saying, duh, you already got that. Why don't you just claim it? Why don't you receive it? You got that. You already got it. What does that pertain to? You name it. Healing, Yep. Finances? Yep. Anything, any request there is, he has already supplied it. Sometimes we don't always receive it. I think that the other thing that goes along with it is don't tell God about your mountain. Don't tell God about your sickness. Don't tell God about your problem. Tell the problem about God. Turn it around. Tell the mountain about God. God knows our problem. You know, tell the enemy, tell the problem, tell the sickness, tell the disease, whatever it might be. Tell him that our God already provided. He's the healer. He is everything. Jehovah Jireh, he'll provide anything. He has already done, and we just have to, by faith, and that's another whole out on a limb part, there has to be a balance. There has to be a good balance between grace and faith. Sometimes we get out on that end a little bit too far, but there is a good balance, and it does work. So I'm going to share a thing that happened Sunday with us. We'll continue on here, but we have two little dogs. David and Gretchen know them, and Art and Jay, and they've seen the little dogs. Well, we were out for a ride, and we went into Burlington to Gooseberry's at a health food store in Burlington. And it was quite warm, so we got the little hybrid, and I can leave the ignition on, and it the air conditioning and everything still works in it. So we had the windows up all the way and the air conditioning going, and left the car run at that in that mode. Well, we went in there, and we checked out in the deli department, and it took forever. They had three different people coming over trying to check us out, and we were there probably 15 minutes in line waiting. So we come out, and I looked over at the car, and my spirit was telling me. In fact, I even went out and looked first. I looked through the window, and they were fine, and I could see them up. They go up on the dashboard. And one is a miniature greyhound and a chihuahua, and the other one is a chihuahua, chihuahua, chihuahua. And I'm glad that it isn't a full-size greyhound and a chihuahua mix. That would have been... That would have been kind of different, but it was a little miniature. So anyway, we got outside, and I saw some people over by our car, and there's people in the parking lot, quite a few of them there. It was quite busy, and the lady says, "Is this your car?" And I notice, oh, the window is down, and one of the dogs are gone. So Elliot's smart enough to know he likes to work the power windows. He rolled the window down, and out he went. So they're chasing him around the parking lot, and the more they chased him, the more scared he was getting. And he's only a year and a half. He's just a wonderful little dog. He's a shelter dog, came from Houston, Texas. So anyway, after almost 3 hours of chasing around there and reporting it to the police, and I mean, these little animals get attached to you, and can I share what you say about them? Floyd calls them an inconvenience or a distraction, and they really can be. I had asked that first, Floyd, but they really can be. They're your own distraction. Anyway, almost 3 hours later, we're riding around and we reported it, and they went way out of their way. One person was there like half hour, 45 minutes, and last we saw him, he was on the back over here. He went underneath that trailer and into the woods. Well, there's a woods that goes a half mile back there, which I know every trail and almost every step in that woods from going in there, and we drove around through the subdivision. Well, buttoning it up, we were about ready to leave. It was getting probably close to dark, and Nancy says, "Pull back in again." A spirit kind of guided her right in there. And I pulled into the back of the store, and I said, "There he is." And there he was, right standing underneath that trailer, right where he was, scared. He was waiting for us. He just went back to that same place. So we were quite thankful for that. Boy, that's a vacancy. That's just a loss. You know, when they're just so innocent, and he's just such a good little dog. We have a lot of fun with them. So anyway, that's the little dog story. So sometimes you have to have patience, and patience reminds me of this lady was at a stoplight, and the light turned green, and she didn't go anywhere, and a guy behind her is laying on the horn. He's just beeping and blowing the horn and blowing the horn, and she gets out of the car and she's quite upset about it. She walks back to the back car behind her where the guy was blowing the horn. And she says, "Excuse me, mister, I guess you don't realize my engine stalled. I'm trying to get my car started. And would you be so kind to go up and try and start my car and I'll take over blowing the horn?" So that's where patience comes in. Yeah. I'll take over blowing the horn. Oh, yeah. Well, the title for what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight, Brother David, are you listening? You got my scribe, the tax collector and scribe. It's coming. It's coming. His power, your healing, is what it is. It's his power and it's our healing. It's your healing. God already placed the healing power in us. It's under our authority. The healing power is under our authority, not his. It isn't up to us to determine who gets healed. It's not up to God to determine who gets healed. It's not up to him. If he already healed everyone. If he had his way to do it again, of course, everyone would be healed. Which brings us to a point, well, why doesn't that happen? And isn't God the all-sovereign God? Yes. Yeah, he truly is. He is all-sovereign. He could do anything. He could just wave his hand over you and that disease would be gone, or just wish that everything was taken away. Cancer is gone. He's already done that 2,000 years ago with Jesus on the cross. But if he did it now again, I believe the world would crumble. That would be the end of it. If he ever did it on his own will rather than our will of healing, the world would crumble because he would be breaking his promise. He would be breaking his promise if he did that supernaturally, automatically. He has entrusted us over planet Earth. He has told us to go out and lay hands on the sick and heal them, to cleanse the leopards and raise the dead. That's our responsibility, and we're supposed to be doing that. It's up to us. Miracles sometimes don't always pertain to us. A miracle is kind of more of an instantaneous type thing, and God is more directly involved, and the angels are more involved, I believe, with a miracle. And miracles, do they happen today? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the more that we use our faith in believing, the more we're going to see that. The more we're going to see miraculous happen, whether it be laying on hands or praying for a loved one or a friend, these miracles will happen, and they truly are for today. It certainly isn't. I think in this church, everybody has been here that I can see long enough to know. It certainly is not God's will for us to be sick. He wants every person healed every time without any exception. He wants every person healed every time, whether it's even an intercessory prayer, a hands-on laying of hands, anointing with oil, or a miracle. He wants every one of them healed automatic every time. There's no hesitation. You know, that's almost nearly too good to be true news that could happen. It should happen. That should be the norm. That should be the normal everyday thing. When we lay hands on a person, we should automatically know without a doubt that they are healed and will recover. There is no question. The only thing that stops that is our stinking thinking and unbelief. So laying on hands means an awful lot. It works. And it's not the person, of course, laying the hands on. We're just a vessel. He's just using us. But it's his miraculous power that has been done some 2,000 years ago that is flowing through that person. And that person is receiving something that's 2,000 years old already. That's already been done. That's not just happening now. It's the receiving of it. Why doesn't it happen? Who's at fault? Who's to blame for not receiving? I don't think there's a fault or a blame. I think it's, again, just unbelief that gets in the way. our doubt and unbelief can mute, can hinder, and stop any of the faith that we have. We all know that God gave us all a measure of faith. And many churches, many pastors and preachers talk about the measure of faith like it's all different, you know, that everybody gets a little bit. You know, you're a little bit more holier art, you're going to get a little more faith. No, we're all, it was an equal measure of faith. The measure of faith is an equal measure of faith. So, you know, Dave, you got the same amount of faith as Billy Graham has, and Brother Floyd has the same amount of faith that Brother Hagin had. We don't measure it by how much God gave us. He gave us all the same. It's how do we exercise it? How do we use that faith? How do we grow in that faith? How do we negate that faith? How do we eliminate using it all? There's only really one thing, and that's unbelief. Unbelief is the only thing that can really stop the healing faith from happening. Unbelief is the 180-degree side of faith. It's the opposite side. So this is why a lot of times it doesn't come to manifest with a healing. I know I've probably covered some of this before. These are kind of new notes that I put together, but I really think it's important to really meditate on that and really digest some of the reasons why. And not just for ourselves, but for loved ones, for other people. It just stays in our mind. Not only is all of that too good to be true news about miraculous healings, it's also the gospel. That is the true gospel. That comes along with salvation, comes along with eternal life. There's more to eternal life than just eternal life. Eternal life is just the beginning when you receive it. Most, not some, most Christians in the Christian realm, most Christians in the Christian realm believe that God will put sickness on you. That's shocking. The churches are teaching that. That, you know, be careful, you did something wrong, or you sinful thought or whatever. God's going to smite you for that. Boy, that just stands the hair up in the back of my neck when I hear that. It's a lie. It's not true. But most Christians truly believe that. It's the Spirit-filled ones, as Pentecostal evangelical, that truly do believe that God does not want us sick, that He is not the author of sickness or disease or poverty. They think that God makes us sick or allows us to be sick or allows Satan to make them sick. Could God actually let Satan put disease on us? It's a pretty deep question. No, I don't think so. He doesn't. He doesn't let anyone do anything that way. We have the power to overcome that. We are the victors. We are the overcomers. We have the authority to rebuke sickness, to command it to leave, to fight it out. We do not have to put up with it. God certainly doesn't want it, and we have the authority to do it. You know, when that type of thinking is just going to get you to death, that'll kill you. It really will. It really will. And I've mentioned it before, if there were such a thing, I believe our Heavenly Father, our great daddy up there, wipes tears from his eyes if there was such a thing when he gets blamed for some of the stuff that he gets blamed for. You know, I'm putting that in a worldly way. It's not going to be that way, of course, in heaven. But he actually gets blamed and accused for a lot of things that just, if it were such a thing, would break his heart in the human realm. There is no such thing as that in heaven, of course. As I've talked with before also, James 4:7, that's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I think we all know that. James 4:7 is, submit to the Lord, resist the enemy, and he shall flee from you. Some of them say he must flee from you. Some of them say he will not return. Submit to the Lord. It's a double process. Submit to the Lord, and the enemy will command him to leave, and he has to leave from you. Isn't that answering the question of God putting sickness on? It says submit to him, and the devil's got to flee. If it was his request, it wouldn't make sense, would it? These things, some of these are from God, and some of them are on from the devil in James 4, 7. Submit to the Lord, all of the attributes, all of the good things from the Lord and from Jesus and God, all of the things, and the Holy Spirit, all of the good things there are by submitting to him. And when it comes to the devil, he has no authority if we take command over it and command him to leave, rebuke him. There is no way. There is no third option. There's no third way in here. It's either submitting to the Lord and resisting the enemy. Those are the only two options there are. There's nothing else in between. To think that God allows us or approves of Satan's actions defies the logic of James 4. If God would allow any of that stuff happening, the whole logic of James 4, 7 would not be meaningful. It eliminates our responsibility to resist and places all responsibility back on God. It eliminates our responsibility to resist and places all responsibility back on God. That's what he actually wants. He says to give him our problems, our burdens, to just put them onto him. And by resisting the devil and telling the devil to flee and get out, essentially what we're doing is say, God, you have it covered. You have it handled. I don't have to have any fear. I don't have to worry about this in my life. You've got it. We're putting it all back to you just as you asked. Cast all your cares to him. When Christians, I can expect it coming from non-believers, but when Christians say that God controls everything, that's total deception. He could, but he doesn't. And it all goes back, you know, I'm really leaning on this with the authority of a believer, the authority that we have, the power that we have. And when God, you know, when they say that, you know, God controls everything, that isn't true. You're being deceived. He could, but again, it comes right back to us. We have choices. There's a lot of choices that we can make. If Satan can confuse you or deceive you in any way over that issue or anything that we've been talking about with James 4, 7, then he's got you. I'll tell you what, he will eat your lunch and pop the bag. He's got you then. If you let him and don't take authority over it, it'd be different if we didn't have the authority, but we do. But if we let him and open it up into our marriages, into our families, into our prosperity, into our wealth, into our health, if we let him do that, interfere, wow, he's going to have a heyday. He's going to have a field day because we're just welcoming him into our lives. So we have to stop it. We have to rebuke it. We have the power. When we're in glory, we're all going to know how much power we had while we lived this life here on planet Earth. And I think we're all going to be shocked. I know I will. I'm going to speak for myself. When I know the power and what we had to help others, to do things, to cast on love, I won't be disappointed. There will be no disappointments in heaven. But right now, in reality, if I were there, I'd be pretty disappointed why I didn't use it. So we got to open up. Ephesians says to be disciples, equip the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. Every one of us here, every one of you in here are ministers. There's no question about it. And it's not just the super dupers that can do this. It's not just the super duper preachers. It's not just the super duper missionaries. It's not just the super duper associates. It's not just the leaders. Every one of us, everyone in here. In fact, the body, I believe, the body of Christians bring more people to the Lord than the super-dupers and those few chosen leaders. And that's what we're told to do. In the New Testament, it mentions the word Christian three times. Two of them are derogatory. But it mentions the word disciple 165 times. That's telling us something. We're called to be disciples to go out and do the work of the ministry, to equip the saints to go out and do it. So it's exponential. We want to go out and tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else, and tell somebody else. The commission will be filled. It'll work. That's a promise. It'll work. And there's many things. There's a big list why we don't always do that. No one wants to resist God's will. If you think that God is behind your sickness, you'll submit to it. I know, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. Every one of you guys in here tonight are pretty well grounded with the word. This isn't for any weak baby Christian. I don't think there's any of them in here except a little guy with Melissa, but he's advancing too. So I'm not pointing this to you, but a lot of these things you can share with other people. Some of the traits, some of the things that God wants us to do, share them with others. That's why I'm bringing this up, so that if you think that God is behind the sicknesses, tell others when they ask, well, God put that cancer on my neighbor, but look what happened out of it. It brought people to the Lord. Well, they're right with the second part, but not the first part. God didn't put that cancer on, of course, and all of you know that here. But share that with others. When that word comes up, don't hold back. Don't just weaken and say, well, I guess God might have done that. Stand up. Tell them the truth. They have to hear the truth. Tell them, my living God would never do that. The God that I know and serve, and his love for me, and his love for that neighbor, he would never, ever, 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 ever think of doing anything like that. Correct them. Get them right with love. Yep.
My closest friend, and she had a chap staying with her, and he had to have knee surgery, and she's in constant pain with her back. And I tried to tell her about healing, and they actually got furious at me. I don't know what scriptures they dug deep to find, but, well, Paul was sick in Troas, and Paul was so desperately ill, and you just think this is, you know, you David Claimant people. I got called out a few times, and, you know, and what about so-and-so? They got left sick behind, and I said, but God didn't put that on them. You know, they may have been attacked, but you don't, you have authority. Oh, the chap actually went out into stormed out into the yard and called me a few choice names in the process. And, I mean, I finally told him, you know, it's in the Word of God. And they looked at me like I had a different Bible or something. And I said, you know, New American Standard? And he's had three knee surgeries since that period of time. And my friend is now in rehab. And it's like she was delighted because the ambulance played healing music for her, you know, the praise music. And it was like, I guess I should be going hallelujah. But all I could think of was, wow, you could have got healed and you don't have to be there.
Good.
You're happy about the praise music. Why aren't you happy about healing?
Well, Caitlin, we don't know for sure. Maybe it was one of those first seeds that you planted, too. She may have had a change of heart there, too. We don't know. But that's okay. Don't hold back. You know, the enemy is trying to tell you to do that. You know, the enemy is trying to tell her to do that. Oh, fight her about this healing thing. That isn't for today. That's not for today. What makes you think you're going to get healed? But we have to keep on, you know, the whole thing, the thorn in Paul's side, that's completely different than what most churches talk about it. That's a completely different concept. There's a whole writing that Andrew Womack has about the thorn in Paul's side. There's only a couple people in the whole Bible that happened to. And when people talk about it, it's completely out of text. It isn't even what the real meaning was. So don't get discouraged. Keep on keeping on. And We have to. Look at all the things that Apostle Paul went through. My gosh, you couldn't stop him. Look what he went through. I mean, he says his best life, the best days of his life is when he was behind bars in a filthy penitentiary. I mean, a prison with dirt floors and rats. And he rejoiced. That's where he wrote his books. Wow. Is that putting faith out there? I believe so. So don't let things like that down. Keep on doing it, Caitlin. You're doing, that's what God wants you to do, and that's what you're going to follow. And come back with love. Tell her that I just wish that you would understand the way it's helped me. It's available for you also, so just give it some consideration. Just don't stop putting seeds in. So again, if you think, if those people think that God is behind putting the sickness on them, they will submit to it. They'll submit to the sickness. And that's what's happening with her. Some of them think that it's a relief that they're doing an honor to God to be sick because he put it on me. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. It violates the complete scripture of James 4:7. You won't get healed, and it lets Satan have his way in your life. With those thoughts, you will not get healed. There's no way you can get healed. God won't listen to it. He won't do anything about it. Even though it's already been done, I'm going back 2,000 years, it's already been done. You will not receive it thinking he put that on you. You will not. Well, there's enough. There's plenty of scriptures that I'm talking about tonight, and there's plenty of them in the Bible that prove different, that will not, there's no way that it would do it. It's the same thing with doctors. I'm getting ahead a little bit. Again, most Christians, not just some, believe that God will put sickness on you. I think I shared that too with one example was a 17-year-old boy that was driving, and he was killed. And at the funeral, whoever was conducting the service said, it was God's will to take that 17-year-old, to take Nathan's life. It was his will right from the start. And everything's going to benefit off of it. God will turn it around for the good. And again, just that thing when he says it's God's will that Nathan died, it again just makes the hair stand up back of my neck. And I would ask the person, did God tell Nathan to drink that quart of bottle of whiskey? Did he tell him to drink that whiskey? Did he tell him to be doing 110 miles an hour in that car before he hit the tree? Was that all part of God's wish too? If not, we can't accuse God of even thinking of taking his life. He did not take that 17-year-old's life. He didn't intend on it. The devil was jumping around bouncing on his tail for that. He got a lot of credit when he was off the hook and blamed God for it, when they blamed God for it. Again, God's wiping tears from his eyes if there is such a thing. That's exactly what that woman is trying to say. God does not do that. And the more we hear this, the more we do, we're going to correct others from it too. It isn't. I'm not directly applying this to you. We all in here know it. But let's just digest it. Let's use it in our Christian lives to let other people negate that and drop it out. Religion will help you think that God will at times let you be sick. Religion will do that because that's the way many of them think. So that's what's going to do it, and then you'll end up submitting to it also. It's just a lie. Never, ever, ever will he even think of doing that. If this is a case and God wanted that, we better not even call a doctor or think of going to a doctor. We better not even think of taking a medication or a pill, because we would go directly against God's will, wouldn't we? If God wants you sick, why would you go to the doctor? You're going against God. And we certainly truly believe in doctors. I do. And you know, Luke was a physician way back then. But we would actually be violating God if we went to a doctor, if it was his will to be sick. Don't take the meds. Don't go to a doctor. Let the pain overcome so bad. Let the pain be so violent, so bad that you can't even think of healing, that your mind isn't even sound enough to break through. The spirit is. When you're terminally sick and in such pain like that, it's hard to focus. It's hard to just say, well, Lord, you're such a good Lord. It is difficult. I'm going to say it. I've been there. And I think many of us get to a point where there's a little bit of anger building up behind us, like, God, why is this happening? Why? Who? What have I done? When is there going to be breakthrough? And rather than saying, but when the pain is that heavy, you can lean that direction. Before, so let's get that straight. Let's get the pain gone. Let's let the doctor prepare us. Let him do that healing process in the fleshly realm. Remember I talked about Band-Aids, cancer Band-Aids, and whooping cough Band-Aids, and, you know, that's all doctors have is Band-Aids, no matter how serious it is. They put a Band-Aid on to protect the wound, and who's doing the healing? God is. It's already been done. The Band-Aid is just there until we get our peanut brain ready to receive it, that it was done. So it would be more logical to let sickness or pain to run its course if God put it on her. We wouldn't go to the doctor. We wouldn't take the meds if God put sickness and pain on us. And it would be more logical, if that were the fact, to let sickness take its course, which would probably be death in many cases and severe pain. Again, it's just foolish thinking. It doesn't apply. Pain overcomes your ability to believe and receive. Let's go to let's open the 3 John verse 2. Let's take a look at a couple of these scriptures. 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's a two-part thing. I pray of you prospering. The word prosper, I did look it up a while ago, and I didn't put it in my notes here, but it's more than just money prospering. It's more than wealth. It's more, prosper is a word that just is a blanket of well-being, of well-doing, to prosper in something. You can prosper at being a good artist, and you can prosper at being a musician. You can prosper also with wealth. But it's talking about a two-part thing here. It's talking about that prosperity or prospering in certain things and also healing, that you may prosper in all things in health and also health. So it's a two-part thing. It's more than just prospering in finances and that, but it's also in health. In Acts 10:38, Peter is talking about scripture. It truly proves that sickness is not from God. In Acts 10:38, let's just turn there once. It's how God anointed Jesus at Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing to all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So, again, it's showing that God went ahead and healed. All of these things are, why would God want to heal? Why would he want to talk about prosperity? Why did Jesus teach healing? It wasn't to go against his father's will, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have went out healing if it was against the father's will to do that. And every healing scripture there is that I got to share this. I'll get right back to this, but I was looking at a commentary. Boy, we got to be careful with this. I wrote down about 12 healing scriptures. And I told Nancy, let me see if I got those notes. No, I didn't even bring those notes. I had 12 healing scriptures written, and some of them, by just looking at the scripture verse and the chapter and verse, I kind of memorized them, maybe not verbatim or word for word, but that's not what that scripture said. Then I went, one was Corinthians 5:29. There is no 1 Corinthians 5:29 and 5:30. I went back to the first scripture that I wrote down in my notes, and I looked at it. It had nothing, not even a clue of what that scripture should have said. Some of them weren't even in there. And this was a commentary that I found on the phone with the New King James Version. So how could somebody be that far off with 12 scripture verses that didn't even make sense? One was talking about the birth of Jesus, and we're in a healing, in healing chapters. So be careful, you know what? Make sure that I'm going to research that, see where that all came from. In John 14:12, it talks about. In John 14:12. Maybe want to turn that. John 14:12. That's another powerful. Most assuredly, I think we all know this verse. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. I'm going to repeat that. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's pretty great, isn't it? That's pretty powerful. That's offering us a lot. If you believe in him, the works that he does, you can also do. But let's read on to the rest of that verse. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Greater works. I like the first part. I'm not even worried about, I'm not even looking at greater things than Jesus did. Because he goes to the Father. Who do we go to? We go through Jesus, but who do we go with each prayer? And who do we go through for receiving healing? It's the Father. Same thing that the Son did, the same thing that Jesus Christ did. If I get to a point where I can do what Jesus did, wow, there's going to be a lot of things happening. There's going to be a lot of power. Even greater things. Even greater things. I can't. Can anybody fathom anything greater than what Jesus did or what God did? Is there anything better? Is there anything higher? Is there anything greater or more abundant than what God has already given? I can't think of it. So what is the greater works? Any idea? Maybe there's something supernatural way out there that we don't even know of. Maybe we're going to see that at the second coming. Maybe we're going to see that as we're going to him. There's got to be a reason, even greater, because I can't think of anything that's greater. I don't know, does that make sense? Even greater things. The works went in that same verse. Most assuredly, I say to you that who believes in me, who is the person that they're talking about? Us, exactly right. And the works that I do, who will do also? Us, again. And even greater works, who will do? Us again. those things are directly written. They're directly pointed toward us. It's not, again, for anyone else. You know, all of these things are limited by people not knowing the truth of God. All of these things are eliminated by not having a revelation of God's love, of what he has offered to us, how much he loves us. All of those things that the church, some of the churches are preaching about, are all because of a lack of love. It's a lack of understanding. My people are perishing because a lack of knowledge. You know? And my opening thing was about knowledge. Without the spirit of truth, without truth, the world can't receive. The world can't see him. The world don't know him. As a non-believer, of course, those three things are happening. They can't receive as a non-believer. The world can't see. They can't see him. They certainly don't know him. We know him. He dwells in us and will be in you. He dwells in us. So, you know, when we're worshiping up there, I know we've changed our song repertoire around quite a bit with some of the songs that were sung, and we're starting to look at it a little bit different of words. Words are so important in worship. And it's not a performance up there. You know, I'm just so blessed and thankful at 73 years old, I'm still able to pound the drums a little bit up there and do that. Been doing it for 60 years, and sure, a lot better 40 years ago than I am now, but I'm still anxious, and I still love worshiping the Lord. I love entering people into the mode of worship. But we have to watch the words that are sung. We have to be so careful. There's so many songs out there that if we really focus on those words, we say, wow, that's not true. That is not truth. That doesn't line up with the book. There's something missing here. Come, Holy Spirit, please. We're asking you to come down to join us. Come, Holy Spirit, we're asking you, please come down and join us. We're singing that at the top of our lungs, meaning to pass that on to other people. Then we break away and reconvene to a Bible study or a Sunday school group, and they say, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's in us. Well, why would we be begging the Holy Spirit to come down if he's already in us? Stir him up. Stir him up. He's inside. Start rejoicing. Change those tunes. Change those words from, woe is me, I'm only a human crawling around on my belly. You are not. You aren't only a human crawling around on your belly. You are a righteous of God in right standings with him. You have every attribute. You have the same power. We talked about it all the way through. Why would somebody say, well, I'm only a human? I'm only a human, and I deserve what I get. No, that's wrong. That's stinking thinking, too. We are the chosen. We are the righteous. We are the children of God. In his image, we are absolutely perfect, flawless. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you were born again, you're a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. That's a promise. That's a covenant. That's a promise that we are truly new creations. Every one of us, when we were born again, God, Jesus reached in and brought out a brand new eraser and went to that chalkboard that had all of these ugly check marks behind your name, and he just wiped it clean. He wiped everything clean. Everything. You were blameless. You were flawless. You were sinless. Everything at that time for just that second. Then we fall back with some of the things. And if you went back to God and asked him, well, what about this? You know, I did that and confessed with your mouth. You know, I did this terrible thing. He would look at you and say, what terrible thing? I don't recall that. I don't know any of that. Because he wiped it all clean. He doesn't remember that. The murderers, he doesn't know that. He doesn't want to. You're clean. And we can do that at any time. We can surrender. And that's what confession is. That's what surrendering. That's what forgiveness. That's what all of these things are, is another fresh start. It's just a fresh start again where we can be squeaky clean. Put it all aside. Put it all aside. He wants it that way. He absolutely wants it that way. So, don't tell God about your mountain. Tell the mountain about God. Whew, that's powerful. I love that. This is out of the in one of Andrew's teachings, a book that he wrote, Andrew Womack, You've Already Got It. Andrew has some great teachings. He has some great teachings out there. I know Pastor Gary talks about reading that, and Brother Floyd does a lot of Andrew's teachings, readings, and publications. Pastor Gary confesses and tells quite a few of the people he's read this little book, A Better Way to Pray. I think he's read it five times now. I encourage anybody to get that book. It's called A Better Way to Pray. It's life-changing. And that's where I opened up earlier about my own prayer life, from not begging and asking, but giving thanks and rejoicing. Most Christians believe God can do anything, but many of them don't believe he's done very much. They live in a constant state of trying to get God to do something. They are begging God to move through revival, healing, prosperity, and the list goes on. They run from meeting to meeting trying to get something from God that they've already got. Running around, and the cover on that, You've Already Got It, is a perfect illustration of that book. And it's a dog chasing his tail. We're always looking for something, running from meeting to meeting, running here. Well, that's super duper. If he lays hands on me, I know I'm going to skip and dance, even though I don't have any legs. That's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it. If you really feel that's your last resort and your only way of receiving healing, by all means do it. I'm not saying not to. But there's many, many other ways. We can do it ourselves if we just totally focus on it and believe it, that it's for me. Many times, you know, churches, they don't call altar calls. They don't call the sick forward to be healed. And even though the Bible doesn't say that's the way to do it, it says we should call the elders. We should call the elders and ask them to pray, anoint us with oil, and we will be healed. It doesn't matter either way. Many times the church calls the sick forward rather than the sick going to the church. Either way it works. But I really believe that a lot of them don't participate in believing in that. Maybe the pastor does believe in it, but if he goes up and lays hands on Sister Shirley that's in stage four with a disease and she doesn't go down and get totally healed immediately, some of those pastors feel rejected. The person with one leg that comes up there thinking he's going to walk away with two, and it doesn't happen right there. The pastor sometimes feel didn't work again. Boy, that's shallow thinking too. That's shallow thinking. We don't know. Let's believe that, everybody. Let's truly believe that. And it's going to help the next time. It's going to help that manifestation come to pass, believing that it has happened, that it already was. I have been healed, and now tonight I'm receiving it. Maybe it isn't tonight. Maybe it's tomorrow night. Maybe it's a week from now. Maybe it's 2 weeks. We don't always know. But go on. The more we go on, the more we're going to see it. And if we don't go on laying hands on people, those that do need it and receive it won't get it. Does that make sense? And that's what's happening with the body today. The church, they're thinking it's a show. They're thinking that it's a performance. And if I don't do well, I'm going to get gonged. I'm not going to go on to the next level. Hey, people, we're going to the next level. Just keep on, keep on, keeping on. The closer that you get, Andrew always says that, people come up, and I've been questioned that. They say, well, how come you see so many healings? How come you see that? How come you see healings in foreign countries more than here? Well, there's a two-part question. Probably because I prayed and laid hands on more than most people. And secondly, in some of these foreign countries, they know where their receiver button is, and it's pretty big. They crank it on, and they receive it. They aren't hesitate. They don't hesitate. Good point. They don't have those doctors. Yeah. Good point. You know, here we're balancing between, you know, is faith going to work? And a doctor probably will. That's what you're saying, you know. So we go running at a doctor right away. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I admit it. We've, you know, I've heard some of the testimonies from a broken back a year ago. I'm not going to get into that. And crippled up hands with arthritis where I couldn't move them 10, 15, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, praise God. My hands were so bad I couldn't have thought of playing drums for a couple of years there. It was terrible. Totally healed, miraculous healed. Two weeks it took from a Benny Hinn crusade in Milwaukee. 2 weeks I went on, and I just rejoiced and thanked every day, even though the symptoms were still there. My knuckles were three times the size of my thumb. My thumb still doesn't quite work right, but no, that wasn't. But it was bad. Doctors, they said, well, you know, it's rheumatoid arthritis. Live with it. There's no cure for it. And I said, I am not. I reject that. I rebuke that. I'm not going to put up with that. But I could have given in and said, it's right. It didn't work. Well, what's plan two? What's the compromise? There is no plan two. There's no compromise. It worked. Just believe it. And if it took 2 weeks, every day I came home, it was the same. Nancy would rub aspirin cream in my hands because the pain was so bad. Just keep on. Took 2 weeks. Came home from work. My hands were totally healed, just like they are right now, 20 years ago. Broken back, four pages of information from the hospital, planning on what the surgery is going to be next, a year and a half ago. Totally healed right here, sitting right here that night. Got up, bent over, touched my toes, which I couldn't do before my back was broke. Went back for the next treatment, which was going to be surgery to go in and operate on my back. Went in there. I said, we don't need no operations. Dr. God healed it already. Dr. Jesus healed it. The doctor scratches his head and looks at you like you're from a different world. And I said, yeah, I really am. I'm in a spiritual world. Sometimes things click back together. Fractured end plate, three discs out of place, and on and on and on. Four pages of words that long. Thank you, Jesus. These things are for today. And the more this happens, the more I want to see it continuing happening. The more I want to see you guys just go out and believe and make it happen. Again, please believe me that what I was talking about not today is not just pointing at you in here. It's how to approach others with it and some of the thinking that the body of Christians are thinking today. It's sad. Sure, absolutely.
One of my favorite verses of all time. If you in Mark 16, verse 17, it starts, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that isn't pastors. That's everybody. That's all of us. So we all need to be doing this because we will change Dullivan when we decide to do this.
Yeah, that was good. Thanks, Nance. That, you know, revival, when you mentioned Indelevin here, revival to me is every day. There should be revival every day in our life somewhere. It doesn't have to be once a year. It doesn't have to be a special thing in a tent. It doesn't have to be a camp meeting. It doesn't have to be a crusade. Revival should be every day. We should have a new revelation, a new way, and we should have a revival. You know, lay hands on the sick and they what? They shall recover. It's not they might recover, or maybe they'll recover. If they're ready to receive it, And again, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes, yep, that's true. It's the knowledge. It's the knowledge. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask them more questions, what they're doing. I think I shared before, when I minister to somebody, first thing I ask them, are you really ready to receive this tonight? Are you truly ready to receive this tonight? I don't want this to be just another ordinary prayer that you've had for the last 20 times now. Tonight is the night. We're gonna believe together. And usually you bring somebody else in, because when three or more are gathered, I am in the midst of you. The Lord, I believe he's with us. There's angels surrounding us in this room, and it's just, you can feel them, you can hear them. He promises that he's with us when two or more are gathered. So I always like to have a third person there and then be in agreement and say, are you truly ready tonight to pray? And that's when that fire comes out of my hand at times, or it gets extremely hot. I've had a lot of people say that. We don't have to wait for that to happen. Don't wait for that. Sometimes it's so hot it burns me as well. But we don't have to wait for that. It's not about the five senses that we wait for, to taste, feel, touch, hear, and smell. We don't have to wait for those things. Do it. Find out. Qualify the person. Tell them, God has made this provision. He wants you well. It's a done deal. It's already been done. Do you really want it to happen tonight or this afternoon? And I've never had anybody say no. And that's when manifestation happens. That's when manifestation will happen. It will come to pass. It will go on. We've seen it. And foreign countries more than here in America. We're too covered with doubt and unbelief here. We've got too much of that. We've got too much gloom and doom. We've got too much worldly things. We've got too much fighting in Congress. We've got too much. They don't have that in many of these countries. They're open. They're willing. You know, in Africa, Pastor Shelley, I'll tell you, you run down the street with a pack of tracks and the kids are following you and people, they want them, they're begging for them. What would happen here if you went downtown Milwaukee with a bunch of tracks? You're probably going to go home with them unless you spend the time. And Good point. Well, why wouldn't we when they're teaching it in the colleges or teaching it in the schools? They're teaching it in the Christian churches. Seeker-sensitive churches? There's too much worldly events going on that block out the true faith, that block out the signals of receiving. There's too much teaching. There's too much stuff going on. Many countries don't have that. They're willing. They're open. Their receivers are on. And you ask them, do you want to get healed? Yes. You know, and their hands are in the air and tears are flowing out already, and you haven't even opened the word. They receive it. They're well. We've had cataracts fall out and roll across the ground. We've had blind eyes open. In Mexico, right after we graduated from Caris Bible College, that was before. That was our second year in. We were there for actually 5 years. But the second year in, you had to take a missions trip out of the country. And we were going to go to Africa. And we ended up going to Mexico, Ciudad Victoria, about 600 miles in from Brownsville, straight south. And on the way there, we're all hyped. You know, we think we're just loaded with everything. Now we got bullets and ammunition to go out and slay every dragon that would be near us. And boy, we're excited. On a bus going, there were probably about 50 of us that went. And we got down to Ciudad Victoria, and that night, apprentices came up, and he says, "Larry, we'd like you to give the message tonight at the church here in Ciudad Victoria." And I said, "Well, when is that going to be?" He says, 6 o'clock. I said, "Ron, it's 5:30. I said, this was a big church. It was a big church. And boy, fear and anxiety and worries. And And I said, Lord, I haven't had time to prepare a message here. He said, my son, you had 2 years. Oh, woo! You had 2 years to prepare a message. I thought, wow. And that took the fear away. It just enlightened. And I thought, I'm capable of doing that. I'm fully equipped. I'm loaded. I am loaded. I'm one-third Holy Ghost. I am ready. Yeah, let me at them. Those people have to hear what I'm going to tell them. I was excited. Fear could have came in and got lockjaw at the microphone. I even had an interpreter, which gives you twice as long to think of what you're going to say next. So that works too. That's a real advantage with an interpreter. Well, the message went fine. I just ad-libbed most of it, and it was basic, and they are so open. Those people are wonderful down there, just wonderful people. We love them. I'd drive through Mexico again at any time. We drove there. We drove to Belize, Central America by car. We love the people there. They're so open. They're so willing. They're so kind. And when we got done, I told the worship team to come back up and just play something softly, and they had a great worship team there and a huge church. And I thought, well, it was only right to have an altar call. And the Lord placed a couple things on my heart and directed me to focus on a few people out there in that crowd, in that audience, in that body. And the interpreter had passed on what I was saying. I don't know if the same enthusiasm or not. A lot of times you don't know because our dialect and everything is different. Well, anyway, I said there was an older person that was having some problems with vision. There was another person there that was having trouble walking, and hip was acting up. And all of a sudden, right down that center island, way back there, here comes this old lady. She had to be 90 years old, two people kind of carrying her up through the aisle there. She can hardly make it. And I said, Lord, you gave me everything in one person here. How am I going to handle that? And she came up, and the platform when the stage was kind of elevated. And I looked down, and I said, God loves you so much. And I just prayed. I said, by his stripes you're healed. You are receiving that in the name of Jesus. All sickness, all disease goes. Those blind eyes will open. That hip will work properly. She threw both hands up in the air, took off running with her hands in the air, praising God, totally healed. Totally healed. Thank you, Jesus. It was just the timing there that he used me, and I thank him every moment I thought of that and every moment I think of it to this day. That was quite a few years ago. But are we ever prepared? I think so. I think we're all prepared. We're all victors. We all have the bullets. We have the ammunition. Dave Duell was a friend of ours out in Colorado. He was an instructor at Karis Bible College. He's home with the Lord now, a couple of years ago, but he had such a gift in healing. How are we doing with time? A couple of minutes yet. The Holy Ghost would work with that man so strong, and he was a comedian. He was so funny. He started off when he was 17 years old healing animals on his dad's farm. I think I talked about that at one of the sessions. But he had a gun. The gun was his hand. And he'd call people up, and the people would just swarm up there to receive healing. And he'd come up, and he'd say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And they'd fly and fall over backwards. They'd bounce and roll. There were no catchers. God, the Holy Spirit's not going to hurt anyone. By the blood of Jesus, you're healed. Bang. You over there, bang, bang, bang. And three people would fall over. And I mean, these are not courtesy drops. He'd ricochet the bullet off the wall. This one's for you. And David would fall off the chair there, exactly who he was aiming for. He was not going to do it any longer. People loved him. Things happened. It was a riot. And then he'd go in and recite scripture. And what a wonderful man. He's having fun right now. Dave, we love you. We're having a wonderful time. You know, there's all different types of ways. There's all different types of ways. Jesus rubbed mud in the blind eyes. David used a gun to shoot people with, and the Holy Spirit bullets, and they worked. They got healed. So what's right, what isn't? We got to make fun of it, but I feel we all have to go out and do our part of it. It'll be fun. It really will be fun. You see a few more things happen. You'll see more sickness. You'll see more healings. You'll see more things happen. Give the glory to him. Praise him for doing it. Tell him that you want more. Your hands are in the air raised. Use me, Lord. Use me. I want to be a vessel. I am willing. Make it happen. He wants to. It's up to us. He wants to use us. It's up to us. I want to just read one other quick thing here. I'm not even going to read it. Greg Moore had a huge church in Fort Worth, Texas. Friends of Andrew Womack for years and years and years. He left the church there to come and teach at Karis Bible College. And besides, you know, this ministry has exploded. Creflo Dollar's helping there with Andrew now, and Jesse Duplantis, he's involved with Karis Bible College, and all of these super dupers are coming in. But Greg Moore, he is now the director for Karis Bible College in the main campus in Colorado Springs, which that new complex now will house 3,000 students. They've got enough room for 3,000 Bible College kids. When we, Nancy and I, started 15 years ago, first and second year fitness room. Now there's 3,000, $100 million campus paid in full, just finishing it done. Next September it'll be in use. Greg Moore is the director for the main campus out there. Man of God, teaches healing. He teaches healing, wrote a book on healing. Well-versed, very well-versed person. Him and Janice, his wife, went to Florida for a honeymoon, to celebrate their honeymoon and getaway. Not honeymoon, I'm sorry. They were married for 50 years. Well, maybe it was a honeymoon, too. We don't know. It was her anniversary. So they're down there the first day, I guess, and Greg is sitting there, and all of a sudden she looks at him, and he's as white as a sheet. Gasping for air, and he says, something's wrong, Janice. And they went in praying in tongues for 2 hours, and it wouldn't leave. This is a guy that taught healing, wrote a book on healing, and is the director of a Bible college. You don't think the devil will try any way he can? His focus was on Greg so strong, he wanted him gone. They proceeded in praying in tongues for 2 hours, and it didn't work. They went to the ER. The ER says they did some tests on him. They did a CT scan, MRI, came back. He had pneumonia and sepsis, which is a blood infection that Nancy experienced not too long ago. Many times it's fatal. Most times it's fatal. It's a very rare blood infection. And if it isn't treated right away with antibiotics, it's fatal. Or Dr. Jesus. So he goes in there, and the ER, they were asking questions to his wife, and they said, well, who's your doctor? And Greg spoke out, it's Dr. Jesus. And, of course, the people in the ER, where is this guy coming from? And he says, well, I've never been in a hospital or seen a doctor in 40 years, so I don't have a doctor. My doctor is Dr. Jesus, and he heals. So they just pushed that aside. They went on, and his condition went rapidly downhill. The next morning, he was put in the ICU on a ventilator. Pneumonia, he's gasping for his last air. And Janice says, we need prayer. We need people here to lay hands on Greg. She went to the phone and called one of the campuses, a branch campus, extension campus in Jacksonville, called Dan and Winter, who graduated a year before Nancy and I did from there, and he's a director of the Jacksonville campus in Florida. He says, we'll be right there. He got a team together and drove through the night, 2.5 hours drive, I believe it was, to that hospital. And they came in, and Janice said, when they walked in, they saw a light. She saw a light in that room that was just glowing. And she knew it wasn't him going home to the Lord. She knew it was him being healed, receiving healing. They laid hands on him the next morning. He said, oh, the thing that he, what Janice really got up, you know, she, when they were praying in tongues, Greg says, I need a thermostat. Take my temperature. I think I got a fever. And when he called it a thermostat rather than a thermometer, she knew something was getting pretty serious. So the next morning, he says, I feel good. I am hungry. I am really hungry. And they hopped the plane. He was perfectly healed, okay, and returned back to Colorado Springs. With a doctor's mouth wide open, scratching his head, you know. Should this be the norm? Should this be the norm? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look at that of being the normal. The next time we run across any situation even close to that, let's automatically say it's going to work out. We're going to get through this. Nancy and I have shared that word. We've gone through some battles. The enemy's been kicking butt real hard. He tried to. We said, we're going to get through it. We're going to make it happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this group. Thank you for these people here. We love them. Father, thank them for just opening their hearts and wanting to know more about you, about your kindness, about your love, about your healing power that was already done. Father, we thank you that anybody that they will run across, we thank you for the testimony that Caitlin gave about with witnessing to that lady. Father, open her heart. Take the blinders, take the scales off of her eyes, and know that your word is true, that it is the only truth. The other things are just fact and temporary. This is the truth. Father, we just believe that anybody that comes across right now, that we will be open to lay hands on them, to comfort them, to give them the direction, to give them the knowledge, to give them the peace, whatever it takes. Father, your love is so strong to us. We thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for this church, and again, traveling mercies and protection on Pastor Gary and Shelley, which are automatic. We know you're there with them, so we thank you in advance. We give you all the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.